come alive, come alive in my body. Dream, come alive, come alive in my body.
This is Molly Patrick, and this is the Clean Food Dirty Girl podcast, and you are listening to episode 10. Yay! I always feel like there should be some kind of applause or clapping, but I guess I just imagine it in my head. It's like, yay! So today I have a special guest for you. So I have Luann Teo on. She was on episode, what was it, 6, I think?
I don't remember. Maybe 7?
7? Okay, she was on an episode
it dropped
before.
Today.
Well, people don't know what day it is.
Oh. That episode 7.
Okay, so Luann made an appearance on episode 7, and today we're recording episode 10, and we are going to be talking about mixed eating households, because Luann eats meat, and I don't, and it's never been a problem for us. It's been fabulous, so we want to talk about how we navigate that, because we see people asking about that a lot in our community. But first, I guess I should mention that the fan issue. So a lot of people, there was an episode a while back, and I was talking about being in a room with all the doors and windows shut, and we couldn't turn the fan on because the microphone is picking it up. But I just want all of you wonderful, concerned people, I just want to tell you that we have the microphone thing fixed so that now the fan can be on, so I'm no longer sweating balls. But thank you for your concern. It was very kind. So, Luann, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I happen to be producing the show, so.
So good. You're starring and producing.
Uh-huh.
This is a lot. It's a lot of work. You're so lucky. So the one thing about Luann is she doesn't like to make these types of appearances. In fact, right before we went on, she was about to go get a shot of alcohol to help her through. And I was like, just have some water instead. Let's just get it done. Get it over with. Not over with. I happen to love doing this, but it's not her favorite because she's a little bit shy, which is weird because in person, she's not shy at all. And I'm the awkward, shy one in person. But doing this, she gets a little bit shy. So thank you for being here, oh, shy one.
Oh, you're welcome. I'll do my best.
Okay. All right. So here's the deal. Luann, what do you eat usually?
Well, pretty much anything that's put in front of me.
That is true. The woman pretty much eats anything put in front of her. I've seen.
Well, if someone has cooked something for me, and it's specially cooked for me, or they've invited me, then I'll just eat whatever that they're providing.
Yeah.
Meat or no meat. It's okay.
Yeah, because you eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you eat an omnivore diet.
Yes.
And I don't. I eat a plant-based diet. And I've never eaten meat. And so we've been together for 13 years. And of the 13 years that we've been together, we have argued and had tension and fought exactly 0 times about how we eat and the food that we have in the house and how we do this. And I guess this is kind of rare. I don't know.
I've never even thought about it, but now that you mention it, you're right. Yeah, that's not anything we've ever argued about, ever.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely argued about things, you know.
Food is not one of them.
Food is definitely not one of them. So how do we do it? Well, I'm going to let Luann go first, and then, I mean, I think that it's, yeah, I don't know. Let's hear you go first. Like, well, me not eating meat and me not eating plant-based. Like, you know, there's certain times when there's restaurants that you might want to try, and we know that there's not a lot of plant-based options, right? And so I, like, can't go with you or whatever. But can you think of any other times that, like, how I choose to eat affects you?
Well, it doesn't affect me in any way. How does it affect me? It's got nothing to do with me.
Well, right. I mean, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So if there's like a restaurant that you want to go to and there's no plant-based options, then I just don't go with you. And I just say, hey, with one of your friends.
Sometimes I go by myself or I go with one of my friends. Or we typically don't go to steakhouses because it's not my favorite food and it's clearly not yours. We know that.
We do know that.
Unless you want to go and eat a slice of tomato.
Oh, when I was little, there used to be, I remember this one time, it was like my sister's pre-wedding dinner, and it was like a bunch of family, and we all were at her fiance's side of the family's, like, we're staying at their house in their town. And we went to a steakhouse for the dinner, and there was like a whole table of us. And my mom and I, the only thing on the menu we could have, or that, not that we could have anything on the menu. The only thing on the menu that we chose to have was a baked potato. And the baked potato, that was it. Like, they just served the baked potato on a little plate with nothing else. Just the cooked potato. Like, no veggies, no...
No,
like,
sauce?
No sauce, nothing. It was just the baked potato. And...
You could have just brought that yourself in your purse.
I was, like, 9.
Oh, okay.
No.
Or... You could have still had a small purse, I suppose.
I mean... I suppose I did wear a purse at 9, but it was more like I probably had like charms in it and like, I don't know, toys. Stupid shit like that. Right. It was so funny because the whole, when our food came, you know, everybody looks at each other's meals and everybody's getting like steak and whatever they eat at a steakhouse and big plates full of huge portions. And then here's my mom's and my like dinky little tiny side plate with a sad baked potato on it. I just remembered that.
Not even sauce on it?
No.
Oh my God.
No, I think that she then ordered, like, asked for some broccoli or some broccoli on top. That's or awful. Something. But
I mean, to be honest, steak's not my favorite food because, I mean, yeah, it's meat and stuff, but I feel that it's one dimensional and it's the same thing over and over again for like a whole plate.
Yeah.
You know? So I've never really gravitated towards large chunks of meat. Yes, I'm omnivore, but I don't really like steak. I think the last one I ate was in 2009. Yeah. And I was remembering, like, how monotonous it tasted. Do you know what I mean? It's, like, just the same thing.
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, right. Duh. But it's just basically the same texture and the same flavor over and over again for, like, 16 ounces. And that's a lot of food.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I should mention, like, Luann is from Malaysia. And she came to the United States when she was 30. And we were just talking... yesterday, actually, because Luann, yes, she eats meat, but she also eats tons of veggies and she eats lots of whole grains and she eats all of the food.
I'm not able to eat a meal that doesn't have veggies. I've always been like that.
Well, right. So what I'm saying is, like, we were talking yesterday and Luann's like, hey, I realize what I don't like about American food. It's that there's no veggies. So she had ordered yesterday.
I ordered a burger because there's this new restaurant that I wanted to try, right? And so I went by myself. So it had a burger patty, two pineapple slices, bun on top, bun at the bottom, and a slice of bacon.
Oh.
And onion rings.
Wow, yeah.
Everything was brown on the plate. And that's what I noticed. The first thing she handed it to me, I opened the box and I was like, whoa, everything's brown. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm just going to eat it anyways because that's what I wanted to try. Right? And then I realized it clicked all of a sudden, like, oh, this is why I don't really enjoy American food as much, because it's one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. There are no spices, clearly. It's basically the two components of salt and fat.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very rare that... I'll say, I suppose when people have like vegan or vegetarian things on the menu, sometimes there's a little bit more veggies. But if you're ordering like a meat thing, it's very rare that it comes with a ton of veggies, right?
I mean, I've lived here for 20 years. It finally dawned upon me why it is that I don't really enjoy full American meals. It's just salt and fat.
Yeah. So I think like one thing about Malaysia that or Asia, not just Malaysia, but Southeast Asia, that I noticed when I first went to visit her family, we'd go back. I mean, we've gone back once a year for many, many years, except for we haven't been back in a while because of COVID. But the point is when we go out to eat or when we stay in to eat or whenever food is happening, which is often in Malaysia because it's, you know, food is a big deal there. But there's always, you know, many, many dishes and it's typically like family style. So everybody will have some of what's being offered and it just sort of like the whole... Like many, many plates of food are on the table. But the thing that's different is that there'll be just as many veggie dishes as there are meat dishes.
Yeah.
So there'll be some fish and then some bok choy. And there'll be some maybe like pork. And then there'll be tons of like steamed greens. And there'll be like a mushroom tofu dish. And then there'll be some chicken. And so it's much more balanced in that way.
So I kind of prefer eating... a bit of everything and not just a giant piece of meat or just, I don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just one type of meat and it fills the entire plate.
Yeah.
I get bored very quickly.
Yeah. Well, having visited where you come from, I can understand that given the diversity of the dinner table.
But right? I think by the time I take my fifth bite of steak, I'm done.
Have you counted that to know if it's five?
Definitely less than 10.
Less than 10.
For sure, less than 10, because I'm bored and then I just want to eat something else.
Yeah.
And the only other option usually on the plate is just like some boiled veggies.
Yeah.
And that's equally bland.
Yeah. Well, also you come from a part of the world that's very, that's full of spices because they were on the spice trade route. So, yes. I think that when I visited, that was one thing that intrigued me because on any given table, half of the stuff is stuff that I could eat. I just avoided the meat part, but there was so many other like veggies and rice and tofu. And it's funny because here tofu, you won't find tofu at a place that typically serves meat.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And tofu is like, you know, reserved.
Tofu is like a mythical creature that arrived in America in the 70s. And only now people are catching on like, oh my God, I'm scared of tofu. It just arrived. What do I do with it?
Yeah.
And then they try and cook it like it's a steak.
Yeah.
And that's going to taste exactly like a cardboard if you do that.
Yeah. You know? That's true. I mean, yeah, it's no wonder. I mean, I've been eating tofu like my whole life, but my mom was big hippie, so it makes sense. But I found it really intriguing that just at any restaurant in Asia, in Malaysia, wherever, you know, Singapore is like that.
Thailand
is like that. And
Philippines is like that. Well, maybe I should clarify that Southeast Asia consists of 10 countries.
Yes. So, yeah. So tofu is like, it's not uncommon at all there. It's just, it's in the mix with everything else. So it's, you know, having this conversation with you, I feel the need to give people that background because it's different than if you were to be born and raised here, right, in America.
And I've only just realized why I didn't really enjoy American food as much yesterday when I opened a box and realized that everything was just brown. Including the box.
Yeah. Because we also, you don't typically go eat that kind of food anyway.
No, I think this is my first burger all of this year. Yeah. Oh, no, maybe second one.
Yeah.
I went to Nalu's, twice this year. So I ate two burgers this year.
Yeah.
And it's November 22nd. Mm-hmm. Not too bad.
Mm-hmm. As of today, it's November 22nd. This is going to drop on not November 22nd.
That's true. But so basically I've had two burgers in 1 year.
Yeah. So how do you feel about me eating plants? And then I'm going to get to how I feel about you eating meat. So how do you feel about me eating plants?
I think it's amazing because then I get to try everything that you make.
That's true.
So I'm like, it only adds to my plate.
Yeah, you know? That's true. I mean, I do most of the cooking and I don't cook meat for Luann because I don't. Well, first of all, I don't know how. And I don't think it would be very good. And I'm not going to eat it. So if she wants meat, she's on her own. But she typically doesn't cook that much. And so she knows that, you know, I'll make meal plan food and I'll make my food. And if she wants some, I'll make extra. And then the rest is on her. So you like that I eat plants because that means that you get to benefit from them.
Yeah. Yeah. I get to try everything that you make.
Yeah. So it's not important for you, for me to eat a certain way.
No. But like, you mean like I have a preconceived notion of how you should eat?
Yeah.
No.
And I guess I feel the same way about you. It's just very easy. It's not, so Luann eats meat. I don't know.
Well, I figure we're two individuals.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So what I do has nothing really to do with you. And what you do has really nothing to do with me. And if I can benefit from what you're cooking, hell yeah, I'm going to eat some of that.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, and it could be like what you do might, what did you say, might affect me or might.
Well, I mean, it benefits.
Not benefits.
Oh, I don't know. If
affects you or.
It doesn't really affect me what you eat or don't eat.
Yeah. So I think that it can in certain ways. But I think that at the crux of it, it's that I don't get to decide how another person eats.
Nor I.
Yeah.
Same.
So I get to decide how I eat, but it is not my decision for I can't make choices for Luann because she's a grown ass adult.
I think at the core of it is probably mutual respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I wondered if you realized that when you said that, you just interrupted me. It's mutual mutual respect as she interrupts me.
Maybe I'll edit.
Don't do it. No problem. It's fine. You interrupt me all the time. It's not a problem. I'm just used to it. So, yeah, I think that we both have this understanding with one another that, and it's nothing we ever discussed or talked about. It's just, mm-hmm. I don't feel like it's my choice to decide how other people eat. I just never felt that that was my place. I get to decide how I eat, and then everybody else gets to eat however they want to eat. So really, it's just very easy for me because I don't get to decide. Mm-hmm. I don't get to make choices. I don't get to choose her opinions. I don't, like, she gets to do whatever she wants to do. So I'm like, why would it be a problem? The only problem is if I made it a problem, if I had a problem with your choices, it would be a problem, but I don't make it a problem. And so that's why it's not, because you're going to decide either way. I can't mm-hmm. control you either way. So if you eat meat, if I think that that's a problem, then it will be an issue for me and for you and for our relationship. But if you don't eat meat and I think I respect her choices and she gets to do whatever she wants to do, then it won't be a problem.
Yeah, I think it works both ways.
And it's the same thing for you. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people overcomplicate it.
I've never really thought about it. So, yeah.
And there is, you know, I've heard people say, and this is more from my point of view, because, okay, so for Luann, I am her wife. She loves me dearly, obviously, right? She laughs, but I know she does. And I take really good care of myself. You know, I eat really well and I exercise. And Luann takes good care of herself too. Does she eat as healthy as me? No. Would I like her to eat as healthy as me so she can give herself the best chance at health going forward? I mean, I want her to do what's going to make her happy. And who's, you know, I don't really get to decide that. So, you know, does how you eat affect me? I don't know. I mean, I guess I could argue it in a way that would say maybe I do, maybe it does. But at the end of the day, it just all comes down to the fact that you do you. I'll do me. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And really honestly believing that.
I think how you live your life and how you eat has affected me through osmosis. Like, I want to incorporate more healthier options. And you've never ever said anything that I should eat or I shouldn't eat. What you've done, I think it's through leadership by example. And when I see that and you're like, oh, would you like a smoothie? I'm like, yeah, of course. Why not? You know, so it's more like I feel it adds to the quality of my life from the way you live yours.
Mm.
I tend to just copy you or follow you or eat whatever you hand me.
Yeah, you do usually eat whatever, unless it has kidney beans in it, and then it's a no.
Yeah, that's a little tough. And it's not my favorite, but if someone's offering me that, I will eat it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going over to, like, if you're going to my mom's house and she's like, here's some kidney beans. I mean, my mom knows not to do that too. But if she was like, here's some kidney beans for dinner, I know you'd be like, oh, thanks.
Oh, great. Let's do it. And I'll just like eat it and just shut up about it, you know?
Suck it up.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good point that you hit on, because you definitely eat healthier now than you did when I first met you. And it was never my intention to have you eat plant-based.
I've never felt ashamed or like embarrassed or about what I eat in this whole time that we've lived together. Like, she doesn't cook me my meat because she doesn't know how to. And frankly, I don't know if I want her to.
It'd probably be pretty gross. I probably wouldn't do it very well.
So then we just do our own thing. You know, I feel that I'm a responsible adult and responsible for my own happiness and my stuff, like cooking meat. Because I have two hands and two legs, just like her. I don't see why she needs to cook anything for me. She's not my maid. She's not my servant, you know? So just like figure it out myself.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who will cook different meals for their family. And I think that if you want to do that, then awesome. You know, lucky family, that's amazing. If you don't want to do that, you don't have to do it.
I don't expect you to.
No, you don't expect me to. And there are some people who do expect it, right? There are some people who do expect it just because you don't. I mean, that is the case for some people. But just because somebody expects it doesn't mean that anybody has to do it. That's for sure. You can say, well,
we all have choices.
Huh?
We all have choices.
Yeah.
Day. Yeah.
Yeah. And so But I think that if I would have gone into this, like, hey, Luann, I really want you to eat plant-based. I really want you to clean up your diet. I really don't want you to eat meat anymore. Because I know you so well, nope. I know that you would have gone in the opposite direction and never even been open to what I'm cooking.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, it's like backing somebody into a corner.
Yep.
And so it's just not effective. And that's why, I mean, I think that's our whole stance with Clean Food Dirty Girl as well. Is like, I'm not trying to convince anybody to do this or converting anybody or, you know, I'm here to lead by example. And if people want to try it, then awesome. We have some amazing tools to help people do that. But my goal isn't to get everybody to go plant-based. It's just not.
Because I think at the core of it, nobody likes being told what to do. I mean, who does? That's the whole point of being an adult. You get to choose and make decisions for yourself. Like, nobody likes to be sold to. Nobody likes to be told what to do. It's the same thing, mm-hmm. right? Nobody wants to be told what to eat.
Or shamed for how they eat either.
Right.
I mean, because I've definitely been shamed for how I eat in my life during, not by you, obviously, but, you know, like when I was younger and mm-hmm. just eating different. Because, you know, in the 80s growing up, plant-based, vegetarian, vegan, I mean, that was not on anybody's radar. And so I was.
It's only strange here, though. You get the utmost respect for my family and friends.
Well, yeah, in Asia, it's totally different.
They right? respect you greatly for being so healthy. Whereas, like, healthy in America is almost like a bad word. Ew, that's just so healthy. You know what I mean, like, it becomes like not cool. You know,
I don't know if that's so true now. I think that's shifting.
Yeah, it's shifting, yeah. But it's like the word healthy built into any marketing campaign is definitely a flop. Like, ooh, that's too healthy for me. No.
Really?
Yes.
I think, when I used to go eat at my mom's stepmom's house when I was little, she would look at me like I had a third eye when I wasn't eating all of the meat at the table. And she was really concerned about
the schnitzel.
I mean, yeah, the schnitzel. She was Austrian. And so there's a lot of schnitzel at the table and I didn't eat it. And she was, I mean, she thought I was just going to die. She's like, you don't eat meat. You need to go to the hospital. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm like, mom, am I okay? My mom's like, yes, you're fine. You know, it's like, I didn't die, Trudy. I didn't die. I'm okay. She died recently, actually. Bless her heart.
Yeah, but she was old.
I know.
She didn't die from eating schnitzel.
No, she didn't. No, she had a long, really long life, actually. But the point is, it's not, it was not cool for a long time yep. here. That is changing
exactly.
now. The paradigm is definitely shifting. But there's definitely pockets where I would still get a strange look in this country if I told people that I didn't eat meat, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. Whereas when any time I've been in Asia, anywhere in Southeast Asia or anywhere in all of Asia, the countries that I've been, when I have told people that I am plant-based, it's an utmost respectable thing. People bow to me. They're like, wow, congratulations, you're amazing.
And I have like tons of questions. First of all, I stare at you because you're so pale. And then... And then they're like, whoa, a pale vegetarian from America. Exactly. You don't eat steak? What?
What's going on?
What about hot dog?
Yeah. Or your mom one time asked me if I missed eating bacon. Right?
No, she said, don't you miss eating meat?
Oh, don't I miss eating meat? Yeah.
Then I asked her, mom, do you miss cocaine? She goes, oh, yeah, you're right. I don't. Exactly.
If you never had it, you can't miss it.
The same concept, mom.
Yeah. Bless her heart, too. I love you, mom. So that's how we do it, I guess. It's just been very, very easy. I don't get to control what any other person does, and it's not my job. I just get to choose how I eat, and then however anybody else eats is fine with me. I don't care. And I hear people, you know, and I get it. There'll be a lot of people that push back and say, but she eats animals. How can you be okay with somebody eating animals? Well, she's going to do it one way or the other. I mean, I don't have to eat the animals. I get to control what I do. But if I'm pissed off that she's doing it, how is that going to help? It's for sure not going to help me, and it's not going to help her. So I just don't see the point in it. I just don't think that it's useful or productive. I would rather love unconditionally and have an open heart and just love her to bits regardless of what she eats, and then, you know, feed her a bunch of plants because that's kind of what I'm cooking. And then she'll eat that. And then she's ultimately eating less meat than she did when we met, even though that was never a goal of mine. That's still the result that that's happening.
There was no vegetarian agenda.
No vegan agenda here.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So that's how we do it. It's very easy and it's a non-issue. And I never feel obligated to cook for her. And she doesn't feel obligated to cook for me. You're actually not that bad of a cook. She's cooked me a handful of things in our relationship. You made me a really good sandwich when we were first together. Remember?
Yeah. There was no meat in it. I tried. She didn't want it.
That's not true. You put avocado in it. And avocado on anything is delicious. So that's it. I hope this helps. I don't know if this really helps anybody, but...
Yeah, I hope this helps too. I don't know. This is just, I mean, explaining our life, right? Mm-hmm. And this is how it has been.
But I think it also extends, like, I don't think that it's just the food thing. I think that our mutual respect and really unconditional love for each other extends beyond food, you know?
Yeah.
I don't try to just, like, make choices for her in any areas of her life.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm ultimately responsible for my happiness and I don't put that on her. And so oftentimes what happens is we want people to make certain choices or act certain ways so that we can feel better and so that we can get whatever we need from another person. But ultimately, like, we're in charge of that.
It's like our manual for them.
Yeah, it's like our manual for them. Exactly.
And it doesn't
you really
work.
Do pay attention to me, don't you?
I do. Unfortunately, I do.
Yeah, it's like a manual. Like, here, eat this way and make this choice and do this.
So that I can be
so
happy.
That I can feel better.
Yeah.
And so that I can be happy.
Because I think that's healthier.
Or better. That's going to be more comfortable for me. Mm-hmm. Or if you do this, then I don't have to think about, like, the fallout of you not doing it or whatever. But a manual is shit because it doesn't really help. And it certainly makes... the person's life harder, makes both people's life harder. I mean, if I had a manual for Luann, I would constantly be disappointed because she gets to make her choices. And if I had a manual for Luann, she would just be pissed off that I was trying to control her, basically.
Because ultimately, if you're trying to change someone, that means you want someone else. Because you want, you would like this person to be something they're not currently. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So the invitation is to, for all the people that you love, just love them unconditionally.
Because love is acceptance, yeah?
Yes.
If you want to change someone, then be with someone else who's like that.
Or just decide to accept the person that you love in whatever choices they make. Because, I mean, I could see how, okay, well, you're perfect, but I would change this, this, and this. But what if you just didn't? Like, what if you just loved that part of them? What if I just loved the part of Luann that eats meat? I do. I love her. She can eat whatever she wants. I'm not going to love her any less. And so having that unconditional, full acceptance, regardless of whether it's eating meat or, I mean, there's certainly things like boundaries. You know, I'm not saying that... you know, just go do whatever. If you're doing something that really, like, if you're mean to me or if you slap me, obviously, or, like, there's always something, like, there's boundaries.
Well, that's abuse.
Yeah. I mean, if there's this, we're not talking abuse, right? Yeah. Because then the boundaries have to go up. But apart from that, I don't know. I just love her and I just love all parts of her. And she, you know, it doesn't, I don't know. I guess that's the work for some people though, right? That's the
complete
work.
Acceptance. Of your partner.
But you know what's funny? Because I've always accepted how you eat. Now, there are certain things about you that I haven't always fully accepted, and I had to work on that. Like, there would be certain, you know, different little things in our relationship. Like, oh, I wish that she would do this kind of differently. And that is when I had, like, a manual. And so I can relate to wanting a partner to be different. Now, it didn't mean that I wanted a different partner. It just meant, like, oh, well, but what I was thinking is I would feel better and this would kind of make this part in me better if you did this. And so maybe that was...
this is all happening in your head.
Well, no. Okay. For example, it used to be that when I was... like sad, I wanted a hug. and you aren't a hugger. When I was sad, you would kind of get pissy that I was sad because you weren't comfortable with holding the space for sadness.
That's true.
And so when I used to get sad, I would be like, I just want her to hug me. And she did not want to hug me. She wanted to run away from me because she didn't want to be in the same space as me when I was sad. And so I remember thinking, oh, she's everything about her is so good, but she can't hug me. And then...
No, I don't know. I don't know if that's correct, though. It's not that I didn't want to hug you. It's almost like there's just so many emotions and I didn't know what to do and I was a little awkward. So I'm just kind of like, okay, I guess I'll just go into the other room and do something.
Yeah, because you weren't comfortable with my sadness.
Right. And I think it was just overwhelming for me.
I don't know. Like, I'm going to make my own story about what that means when you walk away.
Right.
Because at that point, there is no communication because I'm frustrated that you won't hug me. You're frustrated that I want you to hug me. And then it's just
forced in a way.
And you felt like forced and you walked away and then it just got worse. Now I came to the realization and to the point where, okay, this woman who I love, part of what makes up Luann is that she doesn't like to hug people when they are sad. So can I love that part of her anyway? Can I just fully accept that?
I don't know if that's a rule, though. Like, it's not that I don't want to hug people and just...
Well, in that moment, the way.
Yeah.
And there had been other times that you didn't feel comfortable with my emotions.
I think when I feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've done, like, whatever. This is, like, not food, but it's an example of a time in my life where I can relate to... I wanted that part of her to change. And then I would always get frustrated because at that moment and that time, that wasn't changing. And she certainly wasn't going to make that change for me. If she was going to make that change, it had to be because she wanted to do that. And so when I dropped all of that and just said, oh, okay, she's somebody who is not feeling comfortable hugging me when I have strong emotions, then it was really easy because I didn't expect that anymore. So it's like having, you know, dropping the expectations is such a valuable tool.
Ah, dropping the expectations.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just like, I don't expect you to cook for me.
Right.
Same thing.
Yeah.
And you don't expect me to do whatever you want.
And I don't expect you to eat how I eat.
Yeah.
Right? You drop the expectations.
I don't expect you to eat how I eat either.
Yeah. And for me, like the other thing about that hugging bit was what I didn't realize is, you know, I didn't need her to hug me. Like I could go inward and comfort myself. I could just sit with myself and I could just be sad. And I didn't need comforting even, right? I wanted her to comfort me too, so I could feel better. But for me, I realized, and this is like actually because I went through life coach certification and because I've done a lot of work on myself, the most beneficial thing for me was just to feel that sadness without getting comforted. And just feeling it. And so it was actually totally fine that you didn't hug me. But in the moment,
back then,
I just thought, well, you would be so much better if you would hug me more often. But I see the error of my ways. And so maybe I didn't have that thought with you ever with food, but there was that thought about other things. And so I think what changed was dropping the expectation, getting what I need for myself, and not trying to solve internal challenges with external solutions.
That's very clever. I like it.
I like you.
Good. It works.
It works. All right. Well, thank you so much for being a guest on today's podcast, Luann Teo. Where can we find your work?
On Clean Food Dirty Girl /podcast.
Because you are the producer.
Now I have to go produce this episode that I've just...
Spoken in. No, you're a star.
I'm a star.
Yes.
Okay. Starred in.
We're all stars. All right, you people, have a wonderful, fabulous, delicious, lovely day. And just all the people in your life, no matter how they eat, just go up and give them a big hug. Drop expectations. Love them unconditionally. And they're going to freak out. They're going to be like, whoa, who are you? And they're going to be like, holy shit, I love this person. I think I want to eat more plants. I mean, you know, really, that's how.
And then secretly put a piece of tofu in their back pocket. Slide it in. No, don't do that. That's terrible.
Slide in a piece of tofu in the back pocket. I'm going to do that to you.
Great.
Maybe I'll put it in your bra. Even better.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay. Bye. Bye. 100% for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, I would love it if you could rate and review it. That would mean a lot. And If you want to learn more about our whole food plant-based meal plans, head on over to our website, cleanfooddirtygirl.com, and check them out. You can also pick up a ton of plant-based recipes and resources and get inspired to celebrate human imperfection, because none of us are perfect. None of us, promise. And isn't that a relief? Oh my gosh. Okay, have a beautiful week, and I'll talk to you again soon. Dreamer.